report yet, so officers have been in there, and they've been slowing down, going through those neighborhoods, putting more vigilant in there. Pretty much that's all we have right now. No major incidents in Mount Clover this time that report, you know, any major crime at this time right now. So,
well, that's good news. Trying
to keep it in, you know.
Can I add something to your to-do list?
Sure.
Right now, our parks close at 10 p.m.
The Keener Road Park?
Yes.
And this park?
Okay.
So both parks, Keener Road and Keener Road.
Okay.
Can you make sure, is that at a time when there's somebody duty that can...
Yeah, we can make sure. I'll pass it on to the
searchers. From the park
sure.
at that time?
Mm-hmm. We have caught people in there before. We have taken them out, usually the high school kids, in there after dark. A lot of them been using the pickleball courts or messing around back there. We got complaints one time of a guy back there that was in there after dark, and there he gets off work at 5 or 6 o'clock, and he's trying to go to the Marine Corps or something, so he's working out on the pickleball parties back there, pull-ups or whatever, running. So basically, that's what was going on there. Other than that, we haven't had to make a complaint. Yeah. We'll patrol it.
And the lights are programmed to go at 10. So just encourage the people. Just encourage people to leave at 10.
Oh, well, sure, no problem. I'll put that on my list of stuff. Okay. Anything else?
Yes, I do have a question.
Sure.
So if they're not working, are you not allowed to go through the construction area?
If they're not working?
If they're not working, like on a Sunday. Can you go through the construction area?
If they're not working and they don't have that road blocked off,
okay.
Then you can go through there.
Okay, good.
The problem is that they had the road completely blocked
right,
off,
okay.
And they weren't, which means it is a closed road, and individuals still going through there.
I went down to the church yesterday, and yeah. I thought, did I break the law?
So it wasn't blocked off.
Well, it says local traffic only.
It says local traffic
only.
Right, that
was local.
Yeah.
Like when the bridge was being constructed,
right.
Our problem was that they would be off, and everybody was going around the signs.
Okay.
And we don't know how sturdy that bridge is.
Right.
So we don't want anybody going into the creek or, you know, getting hurt.
Okay.
So that's why we were kind of like checking that out to make sure that nobody was really trying to go through there.
I mean, if somebody was there, I would never do that, but I was just going, you know, from here down to...
Yeah. If they close it, then yeah, it's
okay.
A closed
yeah,
roadway. But if they move the signs over where it can have traffic, then
okay.
Yeah, it's open.
Okay.
Right, we're just talking about when it was a closed roadway.
Gotcha.
Because there were people still there when it was a closed roadway.
Okay.
So.
Wanted to make sure I was following it within the law.
Yeah. So that's all I really have. If anybody has any questions, I can try to answer them.
Well, anything else for Sergeant Shrewsbury?
No. I just want to compliment you on your daughter's play. I watched the whole game. Close again. They did a great job. They had a banner season this year. Second in basketball and second in volleyball.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good year, so.
You're a basketball fan?
Oh, yeah, I follow all sides of sports.
Can you help me with my bracket that's due by tonight?
I can try. I don't know if you're that good.
I know about two teams that are in it. Barbara got me into this bracket, and I have
that
no idea.
You'll probably do.
But, well, the Pike family's having a bad year. The boys cranking the ball over there. Lori Bell and the daughters are picking the teams of the state. So.
There's no gambling in this.
Yeah,
it's just guessing.
It's for fun.
We just don't know if you got any more kids left, you know?
That's what Auntie Wayne is
cracking. He probably does.
So we don't have any more kids left. I mean,
he does. He has plenty of kids.
So I just want to say, you know, I just want to bring that to attention. Our girls had a really great season this year. Our soccer team was like, what, fourth?
Yeah.
I think fourth. Girls volleyball second, girls basketball second. So that's been a really good year for those girls. So
yes.
We're all proud of them from the sheriff's office. So.
Thank you. Because I once got a postcard that said no one cares about my kids' sports.
Did you go?
I did.
Oh, that's horrible. No, we care. I mean, we were in the sheriff's office. We had a vehicle that did a little parade for them both times when they left. So, yeah. We're proud of our girls here in Anthony Wayne. Anthony Wayne sports.
No one from the U.
We got on base with Mr. Pike, but I said to say that. I'm sorry.
Appreciate it. I'll let them know.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Looking at our agenda, we need to add under new business, we're setting a public hearing for the text amendment. So we're just adding that to a new business in the executive session. We have an economic development issue to discuss again.
So I move to add under new business public hearing to our our agenda.
March 31st, do we put that in?
Oh, we'll do that in the new business, yeah. And then economic development.
Let's vote on that. Oh, do I need to say economic development too? And the executive session will be based in economic development.
Second.
Second. Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Hirschel?
Yes. All right. Were there any additions or corrections to the minutes from our last meeting, March 3rd?
I didn't have any.
All right. I'll make a motion to submit approve those as submitted by our fiscal officer.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lyon?
Yes.
Hirschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And then, let me go to that. Fiscal officer has submitted bills for payment totaling $248,903.24 for the approved list.
Second.
I'll make a motion.
I'm sorry.
Pay the submitted.
I was two steps ahead of you.
Yeah. So
second.
Seconded by Vickery on motion. Hirschel?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right, and then Gavin, we got a couple of bits of person's correspondence.
Yeah, we received one trying to get clarification on what the mailbox policy was with snow plowing, and if it's snow versus the plow, and what the reimbursement is. And that kind of is the summary of what the email was. So,
and which we discussed in the working session, and Harold and Melvin Doug are going to review that with on the policy. All right.
Then we received another piece of correspondence regarding the pickleball courts, the noise, and what the hours are at the pickleball courts.
And we discussed that in a working session as well. So, Doug, you're going to look at, we discussed the sheriff coming through at 10, but perhaps some planting a rope arborvitaes on these on the side of the this area, and then maybe a roving guard or a noise things on the south side of the courts.
So the Boogers are in the audience, and they weren't in a working session, so I think we should just recap a bit of the discussion we had, which started with sound comparison to other pickleball courts and long-standing practices. Since Harold has been employed, Albin Road Park has been open till 10 p.m. at night, and we have lights and a tennis court there that stay open. Keener Road has also had that policy, but the pickleball court is new and the lights and therefore would be new as well, so that might be surprising to the neighbors. And this is a rural park, not a subdivision park like in Sylvania where it's 8 to 8. I thought a review to make sure our park policy is in line with our noise resolution would be important. If our noise resolution says you can't light up the neighbor dart, I don't know why that would be under noise, but it should be in line. I don't think there's any support for changing the time the park is open to on this board, except for me. I would be happy to change it to 9 or 9:30 because I think you should be in bed at 10 o'clock. But I also thought maybe Doug would check with some other parks and see if we are in line or out of line.
Can do that.
Because what I heard from the email we got is that it's not just the pickleball till 10 o'clock, it's the party socialization afterwards, right? They stand in the parking lot talking about what a great game they had, and that carries across the field. And it's now 11 o'clock at night, and I still hear people when I live in the middle of nowhere. I shouldn't hear anybody. The flip side of that is it's great to live across from a park. It's an amazing opportunity, but there are some disadvantages, right? That people do visit the park. There are people on the bike trail. Does the bike trail close? It's sun up to sundown.
I don't know. I'm assuming it is. There's a Metro Park thing.
Yeah. I know a little bit more about, I know a little bit, because I know a person who commutes using the bike trail. It does close sun up to sundown. You can get a permit if you're a commuter to go after hours, but those are very rare. There's not many people that have those. Yeah. So
I don't know if that's how strictly that's enforced, because I've seen people jogging and biking with lights and,
Right, and like I said, I don't think either you or Trudy care to change the time of the park being open or the pickleball courts being open. Sunset to sunrise to sunset, that would make sense to me, because even though it's probably close to 10 o'clock and then, what, August 2nd, it fluctuates. But we can keep an eye on it and then pay attention to what's happening there and see if the sheriff says, hey, people are in that park till 10 o'clock or till 11 o'clock, five nights a week, and maybe we can make an adjustment.
Well, I think the arborvitaes we discussed will, A, provide some aesthetics in the cemetery, but then also hopefully remediate the sound, what sound there is when the wind's blowing. I mean, I would bet I was out there twice the last couple of weeks that people are playing. I don't know if it's just the night. I didn't hear anything from in front of your house. Ken, I sat there for 20 minutes.
You can have 24 people there on this
course. Well, there was 20 out there. Sunday I was out there.
Ping.
Yeah, there was 20 out there, and I sat there for 20 minutes with my truck stopped. I didn't pull in the driveway, pull off the side of the road, but and I sat in the cemetery, and it was just the other time, and it, I don't know if it's just the wind or the nights. I know it probably varies, not out there every night, but at the two nights out there, I had difficulty hearing the sound from the courts.
Right. So, I think we all took the complaint seriously.
Right. Yeah. So this is a question, because I don't play pickleball. So in the email, they talked about sound barriers and panels, but does it prohibit people watching the game be able to see through that? Because we already had complaints about the screens, you know.
The sound said it would prohibit people from watching.
Yeah. That's right. If you put up sound barriers, I'm not sure. Does Savannah have it all the way around?
Their courts are different. Their courts are like this. So on the outside, they have sound barrier. On the inside, and the north side, they have windscreens. But then you walk through like this galley, if you will, and you have courts to your left and your right. So all the sound stays there. It doesn't go, has nowhere to go, right?
So the only reason I was asking, because on this email here, you guys said about sound barriers. So would it have to surround around a pickleball? Would it have to the whole thing or just certain sides of it?
Right, for this particular instance, the sound barriers wouldn't help the boogers. It would still travel in that direction. It might help those wires. It might help somebody in the other direction, but not where they are, because we don't have any place to put sound barriers.
Another thing you have to consider a little bit is mischief goes on inside those courts, and if you block off anyone being able to see in from the outside at certain times,
bad
things can happen that way too.
Yeah, so you can't even see in, but you can't see in who's being involved. So we're just saying it would a sound barrier. Would sound barriers even help if you just put them on one end?
No, not in this case. And Gavin brought up another interesting point, that this park has had till 10 o'clock baseball as well, which is potentially a noisy sport, but it is a window of time.
The park was sun to sun down for 20 years prior to the pickleball. Because there was a sign that we were out there, closed at sunset, that park down there. Until the pickleball courts went up, then it was 9 o'clock.
Sunset in the fall can be 8 o'clock. Yay, we can go out in our backyard and have a campfire or whatever and not have to hear it. You know, we hear it morning, noon, night, and then at dark, past dark.
Right, sometimes.
Well, Doug is going to get us a quote out, look at the arborvitaes, and maybe we'll look at some options on how to mitigate the sound.
Did you go to Sajar out there? Talk to Sajar?
The Veterans Memorial Park? Is that?
That's
yeah,
the one, yeah.
Sajar is the one that.
But
that,
we're going to get Trudy out. People that live there, how much it's helped them put the sound panels up.
I was looking at doing, if anything, do the north side towards the trail, and then the south side, basically towards the slagging hill, if you will, right? Towards you guys. But with that front being open, is it going to amplify it? I don't know what that's going to do. If you have a dead end here and a dead end here, is it going to push it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
Don't know.
And that's a chunk of change. It's just been to
Well, we're looking into options how to mitigate the sound.
Well, you put a lot of money in a sledding hill also that is used very, very little.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't have much
and you're not going to put money towards something that is used all the time that deserves.
No, we didn't say that. We didn't say we're not putting money into it. We're looking at the situation.
And
we
appreciate that.
Yep.
Anything that you can do is better than what it is now. Sunset is a real good idea.
We did live up there long before the department.
Updating as a sign how the appropriate to do.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Till 10 o'clock? Is that what you're updating signs to?
No trust something after that.
To make the signs consistent with the lights. So I mean, we can program
the
lights
to the.
We can program the lights. So if we want them to shut up, I mean, the lights are programmable. We can shut them off. Right now, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, lights aren't bad if you mitigate.
I mean, because it's light till 9:30 in the summertime anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it's 10 o'clock if the sound goes away. Like, you know.
That's why Doug's looking at the use guards and some robe arborvitaes behind the cemeteries. And the west side of the cemetery.
And come back more often when there aren't just, you know, when there are happy things going on.
They were retired.
We're happy, man.
This is supper time right now.
This is supper time.
And we can get up and we can leave now.
Yes. Yes, we did it quickly for you.
Yeah,
Thank you. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, we had another correspondence with concerns with our maintenance department's tree trimming efforts.
Yeah, just trying to clarify the difference between a tree and a trimming of a tree.
And again, Doug, we discussed during the working session that the trees are trimmed for the safety services vehicles and other service vehicles that use the street. And you try to make them as simple. You're not pruning the trees, you're trimming the trees, so you don't have to come back every year,
yeah,
every 3 to 4 years.
But he's doing that with skill. He uses the Ohio Extension Office guidelines. You can speak for yourself.
You were doing really good. Let's go.
But some of your crews have training.
Some of them obviously don't. The ones that don't will be going to tree trimming school, essentially, over at the state forest when that's offered again, which it teaches you how to cut trees, drop trees, that fun stuff. That'll happen when it's available, but that doesn't usually happen until the fall.
What we did appreciate from this resident's concern was that we can do a better job with communication and letting those new neighborhoods know, guess what, we have to, we do have the legal authority,
right.
The ORC, wants us to make sure safety equipment and road equipment can get down the street. So we need to do a better job of making sure they know it.
All right. And then you were here. I'm going to get back with Mr. Hammerline.
I will, yes.
All right. All right. Do you have any other correspondence?
No.
Let me get your, just the... rest of your report there.
Yeah, I provided you a fund status report through 228. I think just some of the department's heads asked for that also so they can see where their budget's at. So that was provided. And then we did receive our notes from our external auditor every 2 years and gave us a request list. So we'll fulfill that by the end of the year, then they'll schedule their field work, or by the end of the month, and then they'll schedule their field work for that.
Was there anything you noticed in the fund summary you gave us that we should be aware of?
When you get a report like this, sometimes it is skewed because if you pay, just for instance, you pay half of the health department bill. Well, it's 2 months in, you know, in the general fund. And for the year, it's $100,000, but I paid $50,000. So you look like, I mean, this is the high level, but when I dig it down to individual levels, you can look like, so that's why it's hard going monthly from that standpoint. But nothing stood out to me like, boy, we're in trouble here or there. We spent too much money in this area. So we don't have any of that, you know. But.
All right. business items. Under new business items, we need to set a public hearing for a text amendment change to our zoning resolution. And Trustee Lang has a conflict on the original time of with March 31st at 5 p.m., so we're going to change that to 9 a.m. on March 31st.
Right. My other position requires me to be at headquarters that evening, so I appreciate you making the adjustment, and I second the motion.
Seconded by Lang. Motion Vickery?
Yes.
Pearl?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right. No other new business. Let's get into our zoning report then.
Okay.
Your zoning report.
Yeah, thanks. So the biggest thing on the report is there was a lot of property transfers that all went through in February, and they popped up on the legal notice papers, and so I put those all on the report, and it's a bunch of different properties of various sizes. And other than that, just information, you know, permits starting to come, you know, get strong again as the season commences, but the rest is information. I shouldn't have to answer any questions.
It seemed like a very long list of resident concerns. Am I judging it incorrectly?
No, it always happens.
This time of year?
This time of year, yeah.
It looks bad in the township.
It's, well, a lot of them are, they're not really complaints. It's like a lot of them are.
Oh, we're starting to get ready for the season, so how do I do that?
Yeah, they're not complaints. Hey, I want to put a shed up, what do you do? So I tell them, or I want to, you know, plant tree right away. What do I do? So these are me answering questions, 90% of them.
And do any of those come from the app?
No, they're all phone calls.
Okay, so I just thought once we got the app, it would be simpler for you to download like everything you do, and it doesn't look like it's any simpler. And you detail your calls so much, I feel like, wow, I hope he's not spending too much time keeping us informed. Like, is there an easier way for you to do this? Think about that. You don't have to look for it. And I have on Mill Ridge a house that I called the firemen about because they were burning in a no-burn season. And you've looked at it several times, and right now, I think I asked prior that you drive by it regularly. Right now, there's a pile of garbage out front of it that I think may be a zoning violation. I don't know, but it needs your regular attention.
I will go check it out. No problem.
But it needs your regular attention.
Right. No, I understand.
Was it just like a question that I hit on about the engineer's office about the former Getter property? I know one time there was a question about the size there, and if we're sticking. The board is sticking to our commitment that we would like to see the sidewalks go in there.
Yeah, I confirmed that. I actually asked that at the meeting. I said that was something that was brought up before. It was very important that the sidewalks be kept in this new plan, and they said they had no problem with the sidewalk condition, and they weren't going to fight it.
Great.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
One other thing that Chuck had asked. We had a meeting at the engineer's building the township trustees did for the upcoming projects. And Chuck had mentioned that the county had cleared along Alvin Road between Breckenridge and Salisbury. And I just, if anybody calls, I just want to let them know that the county outsourced that to a private company to clean up. So if somebody calls and says, hey, this is all the way between Breckenridge and they cut off the stumps, the county has contracted that out to a private landscape company to clean it up.
Well, thanks for letting me know. So appreciate that.
All right. Any other questions for Eric? Then Chief Yunker.
Okay. So for February, we did respond to 221 incidents. Broken down on the report as far as the type of incidents that we responded to. Takes us up to year to date at the end of February is 454 calls. So currently we're on pace to be above the 2023 numbers, which was a record year for us. So. We're on pace to be over 2,000 runs again this year. Mutual aid and automatic aid is kind of broken down in there. So you can see how many times we gave aid to our neighboring departments and how many times we received aid from those neighboring departments as well. And then I just have a couple of things presented for action and the rest is informational on what's going on around the department.
Okay, I move to appoint Abigail Matthewson to the fire department for paid recall recruit contingent upon satisfactory completion of the required pre-employment physical drug screening probationary period in accordance with the fire department policies.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
And Chief, regarding the other motion there, this board had discussed looking at peak periods versus slower periods, and then has, from a budgetary standpoint, what this looks like, has you and Chief Holmick discussed with the fiscal officer Pike what this does in relation to your budget?
I don't have an answer for that, if Chief has talked with you or not. I know there were continuing conversations on off-peak hours. What I'm asking for is, because we had hired the two additional people, to be able to get them on the schedule to move up to where there's space on the schedule for them, and then with a minimum of five, with continuing discussion on if we need to make changes for those 8 hours that you guys are asking about. I don't have an answer.
Well, I'm not opposed to backfilling where we have the minimum
right.
five, but just saying seven, just because we have the bodies, I mean, when we haven't had a budgetary discussion or look at our calling off peak hours, you know, do we need seven at 1 a.m. to 6 a.m? I haven't seen those numbers, so.
I don't have those numbers.
So right now, yeah, we had three full-time. Mm-hmm. We hired like an EMS paramedic
before.
He used the SAFER grant, hired that.
Correct.
So we
have. Correct. We have. This would be five full-timers.
Yep.
And the way the schedule is right now, it's three full-timers with two part-timers. So this is just maintaining the two part-timers. And again, we can continue to have discussion on how that looks, but this is just making five full-time positions and then maintaining the two part-time spots.
Interesting.
Why do we need the two part-time then? If we're at five now, three full, two part,
right.
And you're going to five full.
Maybe we're increasing our staff. That's the idea, so that we would have paramedics, so we would be able to staff both medic units. And then with that SAFER grant position, part of the reason we got it is because we have to increase our in-town fire responses. So we currently run three people on an engine. With that SAFER grant, it was to match what NFPA requirements are. So we need to be able to put four people on that truck when it goes out, plus two people on a medic unit, so we can provide our EMS coverage for that scene as well, and we got somebody gets hurt. Because we don't have an EMS unit. Because we don't have an EMS unit coming from another jurisdiction. We have engines coming to assist us on a fire, but not an EMS unit. So we
going from three full to five full doesn't meet that requirement?
No, because we would need six people at least to be four on the engine and two on the medic.
So what was presented as the SAFER grant. That's not how it was presented. That it was, we get to staff another position. It wasn't, we have to actually increase from five to six. It was, we can make this a full-time position. That's how I remember it.
That's why I said that was my understanding.
So what you just explained is different than how, than it was presented to us. I'm not questioning what you're saying,
okay.
But I'm saying the basis on accepting that grant and so on, because just, I was very surprised to see just a motion, increased staffing with zero budget discussion at all. And I know that's not you. You're sitting there today. I'm speaking to you, but that is a discussion that should probably happen, you know, between fire chief and myself, so he can understand what he's proposing, because you can't just propose an increase of two positions with no consideration on what that does for the budget.
I think the flip side of that is they have thought all along they've presented it, because if we say yes to the position,
correct.
We're saying yes to move from five to seven. And
that honestly is where we thought, because as we said, we went.
So they're not trying to like slide something in here. They think, oh, we
as a safer is an extra position.
We already said yes, and it's about the complicated nature of fire scheduling that causes communication problems. And I think this might be a great time to just bring up the fact that the Lucas County Township Association met, and with everybody sitting in the room, they were able to have a conversation about how we're all facing the same difficulties and where we can overlap and where we can share. And I think what you're hearing tonight is this board is very interested in making really good decisions that improve the necessary times, right? The times to get to our calls when we have calls, but we don't need to have five people spending the night here, or in this case, maybe it's seven now, we don't know, seven people spending the night here and seven people spending the night at Holloway and Garden. There has to be a way we can do this that makes more sense. And I also hear you saying we can't make the part-time people angry because we still need the part-time people. So you have to kind of keep two part-time people on staff. But what we learned at the Lucas County Township Association meeting, which I thought was shocking, was that we have part-timers working nonstop. They never get a break. They don't work nonstop for us, but they go to their next department and their next department and their next department, and there's no break. And so we're getting a guy or a gal that's really tired. And I think there should be some system we use to monitor that and mandate sleep like pilots get, right? So.
Well, I see where you're coming up with the five people, but you also say on the two part-time, I understand why you want to keep some of the part-time, because they don't get the benefits, they don't get the health insurance, they don't get a lot of the perks that our full-time fire department gets. And your part-time people can leave anytime they want. So it's, you know, your permanent people are the people that is the basis that you're going to have to rely on. Your part people could say, I'm going to somewhere else. And so there's an advantage and a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. There's an advantage of making sure your people are here, and then the part-time people still work, but the part-time people aren't obligated to you either.
So what this request is really to keep two part-timers on.
Correct. And it's not, and that's why we're going, I'm asking for five minimum. It would be our five full-timers that would be minimum, unless Cali Day or something like that, a part-time would fill in to make sure we have that fifth spot. And this is keeping two part-timers on the block as well. Because we have a lot of part-timers that, to be honest, I mean, this is their only fire job. They work a different job during the day. They've been doing this for 15 years. They love being very devoted here, but they can't time here because they have other full-time. I don't want to just push them off to the side and say we're not interested in you. No, they do a great job. They're very useful. They're very helpful for us. And
so what you're asking for is five full-time positions, which is what this board has thought all along.
Correct.
Why do we have to say seven positions?
Per day.
Per shift?
Per shift.
Yeah. And
with a minimum of five.
Had this conversation before.
Right.
I'm not positive we need seven 24/7.
And that's why I said we can continue to have that conversation on what those hours look like.
But before I want to have that
conversation. I'm looking at our current schedule that has part timers on there, and I have full timers that we've hired
that you need to get on
that
the schedule.
I need to put on the schedule. And in order for me to put them on the schedule, I need openings for them because we've hired them. We approved their positions through you guys. That their positions have been approved for us to come to bring them on board. We offered them the job. We've done the training, and they're ready to be put on the schedule.
I think everyone thought it was going to be five full-time people and part-time filling in for vacation days and Kelly days, not hiring five full-time people and keeping two part-time. I'm just telling you what I thought
that was my
based on how you guys have.
And maybe we need those part-time people during the day because we have such call runs. We want to fill the ALS and our medic unit. Like, maybe we need those part-timers there. But to give you two more positions means I'm giving you two more positions for 24 hours. And at least I'm not convinced that is the best route to go. Saying that, I know I'm a novice at this, right? But If I kept hearing this from the trustees, I would call my friends over there at Holloway and Garden and say, let's do something creative. I got to get this trustee off my back. Monday and Tuesday, you sleep 3 and I sleep 5. And Wednesday, we'll switch it and then we'll be at full staff Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
But I think a lot of times we try and compare ourselves to other fire departments that have multiple stations. And I know we've gone through this before. But on our ALS calls, it's Monclova first, Monclova second. There is no other fire station for, not fires, for automatic aid, but mutual aid. A lot of these other ones have multiple fire stations that it can go ahead and charge.
When you look at Springfield, they have a slightly different model, but they have four stations.
They have somebody else, a lesser staff at one of their stations. They've got three other stations that they can call in to help. Monclova then has to also rely on other departments. We got one.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, maybe it was my understanding as well that we would, you know, with the SAFER and the additional staffing was to, A, minimize overtime, which, and then to, we would utilize the hard times to fill in, you know, heaven forbid there's a fire or your incident, and then early days and road days off, vacation, things like that. So,
I know part of the discussion, and I know this was brought up by Chief in meetings with you guys, is part of this was always to also prevent cross-staffing, right? So we'd have two people dedicated to the medic 91, two people to medic 92, and three people for the engine or the truck if we get a run. And I know he's presented that numerous times. Like that's where we always had 7 in our head. And I'm not sure where the miscommunication was. And I apologize there was miscommunication.
No.
Because you guys were always under the impression 5, we were always under the impression 7. Somewhere there was a miscommunication. But where we always saw it is 2 for the first op medic, 2 for the second op medic. And that's still
you got me there. We got to have those two, right?
So,
got to have that.
And we still had 3 back for the truck if we needed that for additional manpower on an unconscious person, things
is
like that.
Is there something we can do as a board that moves our fire department forward that doesn't give them also like...
Well, Gavin, what information do you need from a budgetary standpoint?
I'm just going to have to rerun budget with them to see how that looks. I just emailed, I took Matt's information that he gave it runs by hour. I put it in so it's legible, and you can see how many run a month and total percent of runs on every hour. The one thing I did ask for was how do I tell, you know, doubled up per hour? I mean, just, you know, for example, if we're at 12 o'clock to 1 a.m., I mean, we get 4 runs per month. From 1 to 2, we get 2 runs a month.
So you're saying overnight?
This is overnight. So, you know, here say, does staffing need to be the same? And I understand we want to staff, you know, for everything possible, but there are budgetary constraints, and you can't staff for everything possible without a budgetary concern. And, you know, most businesses, you know, staff based upon, you know, business demand. So I think what you're hearing is, are there other creative solutions that you work with people to say, what is your overnight, and why are we all full staff overnight, and how do we help each other, you know, at these times where that's how we can save budgetary concerns and, you know, save some wear and tear on some people.
And that's what we do on a lot of major incidents, right? That's what we have automatic aid for. I mean, NFPA says for a standard house fire, you need 21 people. We're never going to staff 21 people in Monclova, right? We're dependent on our mutual aid partners to help us with that. Springfield needs help too with that. They can't staff 21 people on a structure fire, right? They have us coming, they have Sylvania coming. We're all in that for the big events. What we're looking for, we're looking more as that when we get those EMS calls, those smaller ones, injury accidents that require multiple units to respond. Our structure fires, obviously, we want to be able to handle our structure fires with what we can, which is a truck and a medic unit at the minimum. We just want to be able to provide what we need to provide the residents of Monclova, knowing that we still know there's the instance that we just can't manage ourselves. We have to have help come in for it. We know that. If we get 4 EMS calls within 20 minutes, we can't handle them. And we're not trying to staff for 4 EMS runs, because if you look at the numbers, it doesn't make sense.
6 a.m. to 11 p.m., 85.77% of all runs happen.
Between, I'm sorry, what time?
6 a.m. and 11 p.m.
Okay.
11 p.m. to 6 a.m. is 14.23%, okay, based on the numbers he provided.
Okay.
It just doesn't make common sense to have the same staffing level 24 hours a day when those are your numbers.
And that's what I said.
And maybe
I haven't been in all the meetings.
And maybe that's what everyone does. But sometimes, I mean, I think if you look right now, just nationwide, people are saying maybe government needs to think a little bit different instead of just doing what's always been done, and think of it a little bit more of, you know, how are we the best steward of the tax dollar, still contemplating the safety factor, but, you know, where you release an ambulance from should also be considered in the safety factor that sometimes doesn't get considered, you know, as much as, you know, the staffing of it. So as soon as we want to have that discussion of overall, when we talk about safety, you know, the location of the release of that vehicle and the drive time that you can't geographically change, that discussion usually doesn't happen. It's always just we need more people in, you know, our fixed location. So there's a lot of things to discuss, I think, on that.
Is there something we can do to move these people onto the schedule without cutting part-timers, but limiting it to daytime hours or something? Or do you just want to wait and...
I'd like to forward. I mean, I said, I'm happy to have continuing conversations. I know Chiefs can...
Continuing conversations aren't good. You don't get to schedule these people overnight, from my point of view.
Schedule who overnight?
The two extra people he wants.
So the full-time people that I won't put on a regular schedule.
That's not what I said. I said
we just
from
said
6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Five full-time.
Okay, so the question is on the part-time. I can't answer that question for you.
So it sounds like we have to wait,
yeah,
right?
Two things I think we need to do. What the budgetary impact of the two additional? And then how do we maximize our efficiency if, you know, if we have 15% of our calls from 11 at night till 6 in the morning, you know?
Isn't three people enough?
Or five people enough? Do we need seven?
Well,
that's what we're saying.
Two of the additional people were going to be covered anyways by our SAFER grant and the ALS funds coming from Lucas County. So that would probably not affect our budget at this point. I'm just asking, not to make a statement.
We were in a budget negative without other monetaries. So sometimes those things do help. They help us not be in a budget if you it depends on what you want your fire to cover. Do you want them to cover their equipment, or do you want that to come from somewhere else? The reason why you put a levy out there is to say this is what it's going to cover.
So you're saying they have to cover all the capital gains also?
No.
He's just trying to explain.
I'm just trying to get the gist.
What's there, and maybe that's a discussion we have overall, and say that.
I'm thrilled we got the safer, and we hired somebody, right? And
they signed a contract saying that they realized the SAFER grant was in place and why they were being hired.
The SAFER grant
can't
cover a budget deficit. The SAFER grant
is for that
salary. Is paying salary on the new employees. That was
right.
Yes.
So that's why I'm backing up again.
And say, then the EMS one, the idea was that comes out of the EMS
Tom,
funds that we
will,
got.
Will Matt be back by April 7th?
What's that?
Will Matt be back by April 7th?
He should be. He has a follow-up on Wednesday, and they'll let him know when he returns.
So I guess my question is, you know, is that...
March 31st, we can always touch base on this March 31st.
On April 7th, I'd like to have this discussion further in a working session, but prior to that, I would like you and Matt to get together with Gavin, you know, from a budgetary standpoint, and then, you know, have that conversation about what, you know, what our staffing needs are. You know, if we put that on a bell curve, just, you know, how do we create the maximum efficiency for coverage without overstaffing?
I think this started with the paramedics, too. The meeting I wasn't at, you two approved advertising for two paramedics because of the ALS cancellation.
We were required
Lucas County.
Right.
at that point, I thought that should only be a day coverage. That should only be that 6 a.m. to 11. That's probably two shifts, though. They need a different shift. They don't need the fire shift. They need to work from whatever 8 hours and 8 hours. They need to work a different way than A, B, and C. They're paramedics. They run these two pieces of equipment. And as soon as I say that, there's 7,000 reasons it can't be done that way. So I'll let it go, Chuck.
Is that giving enough time to get together with Matt and Gavin and we can have the discussion?
It does. My only question, I guess, for you is, so some of the days that I have between now and then, I'm at full staffing without bringing on these new people. The safer,
hires.
No, what's it called? When it starts, the performance period begins on the 22nd. So that means we won't be meeting the performance period if we wait until the 7th.
March
22nd? March 22nd. Because you can't take people off
your... That's, again, my confusion, because I thought the safer was for hiring a full-timer, which we're going from 3-full to 5-full.
Right. But you guys were under the impression it was to get rid of part-time and just...
Not get rid of, just...
I mean, you were under the impression of not adding full-time.
You know, where these guys are reduced. So I'm looking at your report here. We had, two different pay periods, we had 140 hours of overtime.
Right.
A, reduce the overtime, and then B, to minimize reliance on part-timers to fill the
hole. Can you do a sleep time agreement?
And
have you ever heard of a sleep time agreement? This is going to be really hard for you. This is talking about outside the box. If you want to get 24-hour coverage without paying for 24-hour coverage, you do a sleep time agreement. We pay them for 17 and a half hours. So at 11 p.m., they stop getting paid. They stay on shift, they still ride the fire truck. If they're up all night for the month, or that pay cycle of 40 hours, right? Then they would then get paid for the 24-hour cycle. Otherwise, they get paid for the 17 and a half. And if you get up at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday, say you get up on a 12 o'clock Tuesday, the benefit to the firefighters of that is, if they take a day off, they're getting 17 and a half hours. It's not 24. You with me? It's still ABC rotation. There's no more Kelly day, which then that fixes your goofy... How do I fill this one spot? But it's a completely different schedule, but that would solve your problem, without a doubt. Listening to all this?
And just to let you know, Doug was on a fire department.
It's a Phoenix schedule.
Right.
Numerous years.
It will fix a lot of this, because when you're not paying for people to sleep overnight that do nothing, from those hours from 11 to 6 a.m., right? Because that's your sleep time agreement. So no one's getting for those hours. You're working 17 hour shifts. That's what you're getting paid. It's what everything's based on. So you're with me, right?
Somewhat.
Well,
there's a whole lot of math to it, but that's your fix.
Why don't you and Tom or Matt have that conversation outside of the meeting? But I'm not prepared to move forward on this tonight without some additional information from a budgetary standpoint and a better understanding with our staffing model.
Does this have to be done by March 22nd?
Yeah, he just told you it had to be done by March 22nd. Except that I think you're wrong in that.
And what I mean is, at least he's telling me, I don't know how to word this without sounding correctly, and I know I'm being...
Yes, I know, it's very hard. We're out here.
Is, I have days coming up where I have a new hire that I need to put on the schedule, but the schedule's already full. To allow me to at least add them for those particular days, and not permanently, but at those particular days, add that extra person so I can put them on the schedule like I need to, because to fulfill our obligation to them, and then continue the conversation on April 7th, and if we need to reevaluate then we can have the conversation on what we're going to make permanent.
Is it okay if we...
So, I mean, I guess that's what I'm asking.
...for a short period of time until he can get his deadline.
That's what
he said. We don't
have to bump
the part-time since it's already in his schedule.
And you're saying you can't...
If there's an opening for that day, I'll utilize that day. I'm saying a day that I already have a maximum.
You already have part-timers in there, and you're not going to say, Mr. Part-timer,
exactly,
you get to leave.
But I need to put this full-timer on there because that's...
Sorry,
the,
your
the
shift's
agreement
canceled.
We've had.
Your shift's canceled.
And at least do that until the April 7th when we can meet again. Without
training
or things you can do during that time period for which we will be overstaffed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. There's always training to do.
I don't have a problem with that, but this isn't a...
I know though this is an
ultimate
decision, but I'm saying just to at least allow me to put them on the schedule until we can further the conversations with Gavin and everybody and meet again.
When you're filling out April's schedule, are you going to fill it out with two part-time and the full-timer's not allowed to work because you don't have that authorization?
I haven't completed the April schedule for this meeting.
In April.
I haven't completed the April schedule because I was waiting for this meeting.
That would be direction.
Right. The direction Gavin's sarcastically saying is that you need to fill April with full-timers, and we'll discuss what we're doing with the part-timers.
Okay.
You don't get to put us in this position again.
Right.
We want our part-time employees.
If we want our part-time employees, then you got your five full and your two part.
Yep. I hear you, Trudy. I'm hoping between now and April 7th we can figure this out.
Get some additional information, right?
And in my mind, it has to do with the two EMS units.
But a lot of your part-time people, right or wrong, a lot of those part-time people are working a full-time day job.
Yes.
So I could have my three firefighters
and my two part-timers all day, 24 hours a day, right? And I could have my EMS people from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. There is another way to do this. It just can't be thought of. Doug, you were really close.
I will put together.
Do you have direction from us? I guess we've had different discussions. I'm to make sure.
From the 22nd to the 7th of April, this is, I'm summarizing here. You're fine. So we meet the qualifications for the SAFER grant. You and Matt are going to get together with Gavin from the budgetary standpoint to see what this additional two bodies might look like from an impact. We want to look at how much overtime potentially will reduce,
mm-hmm.
but then, like I said, an overall impact. For April, we definitely want to fill the schedule up with full-time first, in my opinion, but at least from the 22nd to the 7th, we're okay. There's trainings and things you go for that two-week period.
So running with 7.
And I think I've heard from Matt that he wants 9. So this conversation needs to happen for sure.
And then we're going to meet
because we're at 5.
4:15 or 4 on the 4:30 on the April 7th. To get some further clarification on this.
At 4:30 for this, for the exact.
And we want you there.
Yeah.
Please.
And I will get together with Doug about this.
It's
a southern thing. It's hard to head around, but once you do it, it makes sense and it can fill some voids for you.
All right.
Or just make EMS people different than
people. Okay, is that,
I just say you have enough information to pull your hair out?
I don't have hair for it.
We appreciate you being patient.
So up until April 2nd, I can continue with what I asked for. We'll talk again on April 7th, and then after April 7th, we'll go with whatever's decided at that time. Because we do have time that are regularly scheduled. Like they know that they'll work every shift with every sixth shift off. But you want me to not come past April 7th until we have further conversations that we're hearing.
Well,
because I mean, like C shift tonight, there's two guys on. They're probably sitting over there listening. To be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not trying to say that for any particular reason. But I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to get asked 30 questions. Two of the guys that are working tonight are on a regular schedule. They work 60 shift nights.
And they're firefighters or are they EMS?
They're cross-trained. They're firefighter EMTs. They work six shifts, night shifts, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in a row, and then they're off. And when I say in a row, it's every C shift. It's every third day. And then they have a day off, and then they work six. And that's a regular schedule. They know for the year. They know when they're working. So by doing this, that takes that away. And so I don't want to have to do that, honestly, to say April 7th, I'm not putting you on the schedule, but I understand that that's a concern that we have. I just am trying to figure out how to do that. Because I don't want to say, I can't schedule after April 7th, and on April 7th say, oh, by the way, you have to work tomorrow night. because we've made that decision.
Would
so
be
I'm
trying
to
do just
the
30-day, just asking, throwing that out there, since it's a monthly schedule anyways. That would give us plenty enough time for Matt to come back in, put in. That would be so. Usually it's a 30-day notice or something like that. So my opinion in it, I would like to see extended out through the April shift. By then, Gavin's going to have his report, where all the finances stand. The chief will be back in. I just don't want to start a, quote, don't want to say fire on the other side of the building, but I want to make sure people know that we appreciate our fire department also. So I don't want
and our part-timers.
And our part-timers. Some of them have been here 20 years, and I understand that, but, you know, they've been very valuable, and I understand there is a monetary concern on there. But, again, I'm going to stress the part-timers cost us an hourly, could help with this overtime, and they don't cost us any benefits.
So taking that out to the end of April, does that give you a little more flexibility from a scheduling standpoint?
Especially if we're meeting on April 7th.
And maybe at that point it'll be seven people. Nobody should get worked up at this point.
Yes.
We are not saying anything, but we don't understand well enough, and we don't have the facts and figures.
So I just want to
say,
anything
for further discussion, but yes. At least I'm able to get these.
You discussed it on the 7th, but
with Chief Holmick back, we'll meet with Gavin on the 7th.
I think that happens right away. You and Gavin meet right away.
The chief's on this meeting, so he's fully aware of they have to meet.
Okay.
And we maybe have some individual conversations too. Doug has an idea. Let's do some research on.
So does that help give you a little bit more leeway through
it
April?
I appreciate
that.
That
way all the facts can come in from budget to personnel to runs at night, runs during the day, paramedics on this shift, fire guys on this shift.
Yes, you got my point there. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Tom, anything else in your report, Tom?
That is all.
No, he wants to be done. We have annoyed him to no end.
Not at all.
Doug.
I got nothing at this point, y'all.
We have enough salt for next year, right?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
We use 757 tons. We're Harold and I looked at it Friday, I think it was.
Yep.
We have half a bin. We're fine. I'm not sweating it. We had a plan to not order any this year because we want to get through what's been there for, I don't know how long that stuff's been there. A long time.
There's some old salt there.
I don't know if you remember when they put beet juice salt.
Mm-hmm.
There's this year we think beet juice and some salt. We've done that in years.
Long time.
So we're gonna get to the back of the building, make sure our building's fine, make sure it doesn't need anything. There's no boards around it, so it's okay. We're going through with our plan. Leaves you asked for that. It was 5,360 yards of leaves. So. That's quite a bit. If you do a yard times 450, that's your total weight. We went through our field plan. We talked about in the mayor's office. We're moved into the extension. Harold came down to that. HVAC HVAC stuff is done at the annex building. Two furnaces, one water heater, and one AC unit. The other AC unit is in good repair. We don't need to replace it. EJ and I went through all of our equipment, anything that basically has a motor again, graded it. I had some conversation with Gavin about numbers. Does this make sense? Does that make sense for our upcoming budget? So it's not a big surprise. I don't know anything about that, Gavin. I mean, can you explain it better than I did? I mean, I basically gave you what our old machine does.
Yeah, so he said, here's... If we buy the old machine, here's how much it costs, here's how much labor it takes to run it. If we buy a more expensive, here's what the labor is. And so then you can do the cost-benefit analysis and say, how much am I going to save in labor, and how long does it take me to make that up? And then, you know, there's also a benefit of if I'm not using that labor, I can actually do more projects. That's not even part of that. But so now that I do have an assistant, I can start doing other projects. And I can do fire projects and analysis because I'm not doing as much of the day-to-day. So
instead of going through, like, my brain, hey, I want a piece of equipment, right? There's going to be actual data that's attached to that. So, like, when we got the excavator, that was a need. It wasn't like, we really need to have this. That's different than replacing, in my mind, replacing equipment down in the future. Like,
Everybody wants a new mower. Everybody wants a new weed whacker. But if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. Well, why not use the benefit of some of those numbers guy and say, hey, here are the facts. This is what it takes. This is what it is. Now, does it make sense to replace it in 2 years, 5 years, or 6 years? That's where I'm going with all this. So when we have, there's no surprises, because we still have some surprises. I'm sure there's always a surprise, right? We can pull it in and hope not, but things happen. But if we can get ahead of it, then we don't have those. And that's where I'm trying to get us to with the equipment replacement.
You know, Doug, I just love that you love your job so much.
I enjoy it.
Usually. It's just silly how much you like it. It's really appreciated by me.
Thank you. I just want to do good for you.
I saw this fence thing in your report. $8,700 to do the fence around the entire perimeter of the blacktop is how I picture it in my head. Mm-hmm. Does it have to be all the way around the blacktop?
So
I get you don't want them to drive down the stone path, but can't that just be a little bit? All I think the reason this came to my head is because you're talking about return on investment kind of opposite way.
Yeah.
But this fence is going to have a negative return on investment because you're going to have to weed whack around it. And then you're going to weed whack too close, and then the poles are going to fall over when
snow
hits it.
So, okay.
Turn it to you now.
It's good to ask questions.
No, it's okay. So, that fence, and I try to attach it.
I just think there could be less. It could just be a V at the
so here's
top
what we
corner.
Have, or just what we had traditionally. You pull into the park, there's a chain fence gate. Two gates open roughly 4 foot for ADA accessible, so you can get wheelchairs, that kind of strollers. But at the sides of the gates, there's nothing there.
I understand that.
So.
But you don't have to go the whole perimeter.
No, so we would go from the salt shed.
That's the whole perimeter.
That's where the parking lot's at, right? Up.
But no one has ever driven off the grass around the cemetery.
Yeah, that's the whole reason that there were dams.
Yes,
they driving on the ball diamonds.
Yes, they have.
That's
because they took the stone road.
No, they went around the gate.
Just right there, and then onto the stone road, and what have you.
So how far do you want to go? Like,
that's the question. You want to go away.
I just want to do it and be done with it.
He wants to discourage for anybody from doing damage to our field.
But now he's going to be weed whacking. But okay.
Well, you put them around them. You don't have to
round up
a 6-inch aluminum.
Poison
the world. Yeah, kill the environment. The new trees are going to get poisoned. This is all going to
stop. They're all happy with the fence. Sorry I brought it up.
Thanks. I was really sounding good for you. I was getting, then I got the butt. No. Anyhow, now, so you got me on the cemetery. Nothing new on Square. They asked for an updated grave stuff and input it.
We saw that.
That's going to happen after this week because we get two more burials, so we'll get more. I'm waiting on...
Yeah, it sounded great. We're going to get that Swan Creek thing ready to go.
Yeah, so as soon as I get numbers from that...
I should get buried over there.
You can sell your grave. Right? That's fine. As soon as I get numbers for that, then I have updated numbers from Transtar, so I can say, hey, this is what total cost of the project is. So it's not and it's just done. If we're going to get rid of doors, we're going to, before we schedule anything, we're going to keep doors, if we're going to do doors, if we're going to, whatever we're going to, my goal is to list together, and you say yes or no, and then we move forward. It's not going to be like, well, next year we'll add either, that's just my thoughts when it comes to that building.
Well. You can't be guaranteed we won't say that anyway.
You still can. That's fine. Here's all the information. Pick and choose. I talked to Harold today about the columbarium at Roth. We could put 1,000 niches in there in the columbarium. I don't know. Do you want 1,000 niches? Niches? I don't know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Probably cabin.
100 would be a good start, my time.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I think the pictures I sent you were separate buildings, separate
mm-hmm.
columbariums. So, right, you start with 100 or a 300, and then you add a 300, and then you add a 300, but your master plan shows them all. And
would you be opposed to letting, like, Kent Buehr or somebody drawing up a master plan for this? To say, this
it
is what
sense.
It looks like, and this is where we're going to start, and as we grow here. So that's down the road, and we don't have to worry about, what was he thinking? We know. So, is it okay if I or Harold, I don't want to keep getting him crap, can I reach out to Kent and say, hey, this is what we're looking to do? Can you roll me up something that makes sense?
Do you think Kent does that, Harold?
Who did the park
update? Yeah, he did do the park.
Yes.
Park update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to work?
So you have a master plan for the Ross Cemetery.
And then you can see it, and then you can say yes or no.
And this will be phase one, this will be phase two,
yes.
Phase three, yep.
Instead of that trend.
Yeah, I drew stuff, and I'm like, this is silly.
Sometimes the people that sell you the stuff, they'll draw for free.
Let me check there first.
They, if you say, hey, I want to build this out, they're trying to sell it to you, they'll lay out a, you know, it might not be a construction drawing that you could go get a permit for.
Right.
But they give you the
vision. The vision.
Yeah.
Let me,
the company we talked to down in Columbus.
Yeah.
I think they'll draw.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping you did, Sean. I'm like, hey, if you got a connection, I'll better make it happen. I'll make some calls and see if I can get that done. Drawn versus.
Not that far away. It's a 3-hour drive. They can drive down there.
I was thinking you were driving up there. All right. So we kind of talked about the parks. Mike Stockman, we got his name from, and he was the lowest on the split rail.
Yeah, I just think it's too much fence, but okay. I'm fine. They like it.
You don't. I'm trying to
just trying to discourage vandalism.
So, with that being said, Transtar routed wire up to our light poles. So we have a GFI at roughly 8 foot, and then we have one at 12 foot. The GFI is a reset plug, but the cameras are mounted at 12 foot at the pickleball course. We're going to have cameras at the back of the... Go ahead.
I just think that camera will help us so much with what we heard tonight.
So,
like, we could say there were people on the court one time data, right?
So
there's people here 7 nights a week till 10:30.
So is it a 20? Is it recording though continuously,
yes.
Or is it okay? So it's a continuous
it's
recording camera.
Like, yeah. So It'll save to a hard drive when.
Okay.
That's Triotech. That's not me. I don't know. I ran the Cat 6 form and made it easy for them to hook
that's
up. That's
wonderful.
What I know. But that being said, do we want to hold off on fencing until we see what that does? Do we just want to put two sections up by the gate to say, hey, here's the gate?
Now, my says you do the fencing and then the security cameras for different issues all the time. We've had vandalism with people taking knife, you know, drag a handicap sign on the court. If there's people that are past 10 o'clock, we'll be able to monitor that. I mean, the fencing has got nothing to do with that. I think those are, in my opinion, two separate issues, yeah.
He's just trying to solve.
I'm just trying to keep moving forward.
I like the fence and I like the camera.
Okay. Then we'll keep moving forward.
Give him a little extra direction.
Yep. Be quiet, Barbara.
Parks are open.
Didn't say that.
We have one baseball net to put up, batting cage net, and stay with it. And tree should be on one, right? River Valley. If you guys like Valley, then give me an email and call like, hey, this is terrible, awesome. You should work for us. Me, whatever it is, call me, let me know.
Going through there tomorrow.
And then if you're good, we'll keep moving forward. And that's about all I got. Questions?
I don't know if it's a discussion on keep moving forward. You still have to trim the trees no matter what.
Yeah.
There's no, you need to keep
going. You need to keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
at least
I'm saying
you can see
is,
if you drive.
I will drive through tonight if
I don't,
you stop talking.
You can't go through if there's people working.
Timber Valley
Timber
is
20. Oh, yeah, coming through that way.
You get there from here.
I'm going to go to 28.
Take a break. You'll be fine.
I can either go to Valhalla or I can go to Timber Valley. I know how to do this.
Do the detour. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, Doug.
Harold, we need to move a couple of projects. Thank you, Doug.
Anything else?
No.
So he has approval on the fence?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we need to take a vote?
I don't know if you need to take a vote.
Okay. 2-1.
Do you have a motion on that? Have $8,700 to spend?
I just...
Is it in the part?
Yeah, we have $8,700 to spend. We just need a PDPO.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've got three items that we need to deal with tonight. Ask the county engineer to help us with our 2027 OPWC project, which is Strayer Road, Reed Road, Fenwick Road, and streets in Fallen Timbers and Burnwick.
I move to approve resolution 0317202501, authorizing administrator request for engineering assistance from the Office of Lucas County engineer, and preparing an OPWC application for the township of 2027 resurfacing project, including Strayer Road, Reed Road, Fenwick Road, and streets in Fallen Timbers and Burnwick.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lyon?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. And I move to.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to touch base on after the Lucas County Township Association, Anita Lopez and I were talking about the ditch cleanup, and the prosecutor told her she couldn't get any updates about 10 Mile Creek because she lives in Sylvania somewhere near it. I'm like, that's ridiculous. We vote on roads all the time. We vote on all this stuff. And I think I've had an ethics conversation about vote. I live in Brandywine, which would be Burnwick. There is no direct
it's the greater good what you're doing. It's not a project for Barbara.
Barbara, you're not doing my driveway.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. You're part of the public.
We're doing all your neighbors' streets.
All right. That's all I wanted to say, Chuck.
Okay. I move to approve resolution 0317-2025-02 approving the specifications permissions to advertise the 2025 Township on Clover Township crack seal project for the listed Herald's report.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
And the 2025 OPWC Herald?
We just need to approve the contract and sign it this evening so I can get it back to Bowers and they can get us on their schedule.
I move to approve the contract with Bowers Asphalt and Paving for the 2025 Township OPWC resurfacing project.
Seconded by Herschel on motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
I have one question and this is submitted for information. The Andersons has an agreement with us because they don't pay there. They have some tax incentives.
Yes, pilot program.
But they make our fire and police levies whole?
Yes.
Do they have an agreement with the schools? Do you know that?
I believe that they do, but I'm...
That's what I did, too. Somebody was talking about tax incentives, and I said, in Clover Township, we do this. So it's just checking, and it's here on the report.
Unrelated, we sold the ladder truck on the aerial on the Gov deals?
Yes, it was sold and taken away.
What did you sell it for?
96, was it?
Somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact amount now.
Yeah.
So I do have two questions. On the fires, Harold, on the fire station storage building, can't get anybody to move or do anything on that to even come out and look?
Matt was relying on somebody that he's talking to. So I just don't have any new information for you on that.
And I know we've discussed before the renovation on the fireside. I actually attended another trustee meeting in the area that is renovating one of their fire departments, and there was a architect that lived over in Apple Blossom that they approved a contract on supervising the whole renovation of their fire station. I think it might be a good idea to reach out to the company. Their township is using that. They're having their whole fire station. It would be maybe our benefit to have them come in since they're only 3 or 4 miles away, the company is, and take a look at what maybe we've been discussing now for 2 years.
Do you know how much they pay for that contract?
A lot. But they're doing like huge, major digging, additions, transform, because their contract was $200,000.
Yeah.
But they're doing
major. The renovation, not just the...
That was just the approved plans, the drawings, running the job,
okay,
doing all the permits, all the drawings, things from point A to the end, and they're managing the whole project. So I just would like to see maybe if I've got their name and information. It doesn't hurt, I do believe, since they're so local, to reach out to give them a call to see about looking at our facility over here.
Yeah, along with those staffing issues, I mean, I'd be curious. It's like, okay, where if we do increase this, then where are people sleeping?
And we're working with one contractor now that's drawing up some ideas. So if you want to send that over,
okay,
we can absolutely reach out to them too if you get a second idea.
Like I said, they're working with the township on their fire renovation. So they're well versed if the big township is using these guys for their huge renovation.
Perfect. Yeah, if you can send it over, that'd be great.
All right. That concludes our agenda. Are there any questions, comments, concerns from any of the public tonight regarding agenda items? All right. Then with that, I'll make a motion to adjourn from general session and move to executive session to discuss an economic development issue.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
I'm never going to say you're
here.
Welcome back,
Aaron.
Except for my marching
band. Yeah, no. All right, I'll make a motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And we have no action items at this time, so I'll make a motion to adjourn. General session?
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes. Okay.